Thank you for listening to the SSPX podcast, delivering sermons, lectures, talks, and the spoken word from across the English-speaking world. For more information and more episodes, please search SSPX on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app or program. In this episode on Good Shepherd Sunday 2018, Father Kevin Robinson gives examples of the crisis in vocations in the church, how they can be solved, and the importance of the...
Dearly beloved faithful, you have heard the word of God. Now let us reflect upon it with the theme of priestly vocations. We just came from a priest's retreat here. Father Wegner giving us wonderful guidance, words of wisdom to reflect upon. We had a visiting priest here this week from another country. Father X, he wants his name and identity hidden. He's a priest of a diocese, just ordained last year, and just within this year discovered the traditional Mass, the traditional Catholic faith, which had been hidden from him all his life. Father X has a most amazing story, but I'll give you one factoid from this priest. Totally overwhelmed to be here among the priests in this parish, overwhelmed with the generosity of you faithful, building this magnificent temple for the glory of God, for the sacred altar. In his seminary, there were 20 men studying for the priesthood. The seminary was built for 600 seminarians. And just before the Second Vatican Council, there were two in every room. There were 1,200 seminarians. Now there are 20. Two of them last year were caught in a flagrant delict, which is unmentionable to speak of in mixed company. A third seminarian discovered these two and reported to the rector, who then dutifully expelled the seminarian who reported the unspeakable behavior of the other two. This, my faithful, is a terrible, terrible, abysmal sign of the decline of vocations, not only in numbers, but in quality. It amazes me that people still go to these Novus Ordo parishes and put one dime in the collection plate. It astonishes me. And in fact, the bankruptcy, physical, of so many dioceses is a reflection of the spiritual bankruptcy of their lack of faith. So many Judases in the church, and yet God has provided the oases of tradition throughout the world. Thank God for the great saintly Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. He speaks of a vocation not as the result of a miraculous or extraordinary call, but rather the blossoming of a Christian soul that is attached to its Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ, by an exclusive love and shares his thirst to save souls. That's a vocation. It's a true love affair of the human soul with the divine. It's a great mystery. But so is the mystery of love, even human love. And just as there are many married couples who become parents and who are not worthy of parenthood, so likewise, many who give themselves to God with all goodwill, allow the world and the flesh and the devil to crowd out their spiritual lives, and they become bad shepherds. The bad can become good, and the good can become bad. So let us not judge, but watch and pray. Especially pray for the parents who are the first vocation directors in the homes of their children, and pray for your clergy. So that little example from Father X is a little discouraging, and yet it's wonderful to see his wake-up call and how zealous he is now to abandon his diocesan ministry and to work with the Society of St. Pius X. More and more are like that, and it's a wonderful thing to see. "There, but for the grace of God, go I." Almost entered a Novus Ordo seminary and discovered similar atrocities and horrendous things. 20 years before Martin Luther came on the scene, there was a fiery and thoroughly orthodox priest in Florence, Jerome Savonarola, whose life-size statue is there in the church in Florence. He warned parents, "Don't you dare send your children to the seminaries, they will be corrupted. They are cesspools of iniquity, heresy and immorality, even in Rome," for which Pope Alexander VI, one of the most outrageous of the bad popes, made sure that Savonarola was excommunicated, handed over to the secular authorities, and burned at the stake. I assure you, his writings are thoroughly orthodox. And yet Martin Luther said of Jerome Savonarola, if the church had more men like him, and if the authorities had supported him, we would not have needed the Reformation. We are in a similar situation. But again, be thankful to God for giving you this work of tradition. Recognize and encourage your children to realize the importance of what we're doing here. The Good Shepherd calls all to his sacred service, but some to abandon the world, to abandon the prospects of a happy marriage and possessions and honors and riches in this world, and follow him, to be more than his servants, but to be his friends. As Jesus said in John 15, "I've called you friends because all things whatsoever I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you." And no one but the priest trained in the traditional seminary knows all that the Father has revealed through Christ. And he's duty-bound to share it with you for the life of your soul. The truth will set you free. So love the tradition. It brings true freedom and perfect love. So that's my first step, first point to encourage you, to encourage vocations. How do we foster vocations? Realize the importance of it, especially these days. So much barrenness. People are dying for the lack of truth. It is the duty of the priest, Malachi chapter 2, "The lips of the priest shall keep knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth," the law that sets us free. "Because he's an angel of the Lord of hosts." Truth and grace come through the priest to offer the divine sacrifice that reconciles God with man. The clean oblation, Malachi 1, to bring God to the Gentiles. When St. John Bosco was sending his missionaries to Argentina, they reported back that back in Italy we used to ask the penitent, "How long since your last confession?" We don't ask that in Argentina. We ask, "Have you ever made a confession?" So few and far between. One priest for a million souls. Something like that. Well, it's a bit like that again these days and in our own country. So encourage your children to see the importance of priestly vocations and consecrated souls, brothers and sisters, who are at the service of the altar, at the service of the priest. It's a beautiful vocation of love, self-sacrifice, and infinite reward. Secondly, help and support the work of the Priestly Society of St. Pius X in every way you can. The visiting priest this last week commented how wonderful it is to see this flourishing parish and families helping to serve the priests with great joy. Your generosity is noted, but continue it and make sure your children understand that we sacrifice for God, that we may have more priests, that they may be holy, that they may persevere. Because never forget, the good can become bad, the bad can become good. Help the priests, continue to pray for them, support them materially and spiritually, and the works of the priests. Here we have the tremendous privilege of having a school and having a retreat house. Now, it has been noted in our priests' meeting in February that in the last decade, throughout the world, the vast majority of our vocations come to us through our own schools. That is, vocations of the young. They come through our schools. So we must encourage and support the schools. But the vast majority of vocations of those who have not been to our schools comes through the retreat. The Ignatian retreat wakes people up to their true call in life. And for many, it wakes them up to their vocation. The retreats also must be supported. And of course, the seminaries. I came from Australia to the United States, where back then, 33 years ago, the only place on the planet to become a Catholic priest, according to tradition, in brackets, if you only can speak English, was Connecticut, Ridgefield, Connecticut, in the United States, which moved to Winona, Minnesota, much bigger and better place than Ridgefield. And now that was overflowing. And we've built a bigger and better place in Virginia, near the Blue Ridge Mountain and Shenandoah River. So our seminary in the United States has grown from small in Armada, Michigan, bigger, Ridgefield, Connecticut, bigger still, Winona, Minnesota, and the biggest yet in Virginia. Support the work of the seminary. And of course, after I joined, we started one in Australia, where I'll be visiting in the summer to help the priests and brothers and seminarians with the retreat there. So all this you may do, both spiritually and material support, but also to foster vocations, you must show in your homes respect, love, and esteem for the priestly and religious vocation. It's true that priests, even the superiors in the Society of St. Pius X, are not above criticism. They make mistakes. Sometimes they sin. We also have to go to confession. But for parents in the family situation to speak of these sins or faults, to exaggerate them, to make mountains out of molehills, is doing a very grave disservice. When children hear constant criticism, even valid criticisms of their priests, they don't want to go to the seminary. They'd rather drive trucks for a living. Anything but to be the subject of such unrelenting criticism. So beware of that. Discuss in private how best to deal with the situation. Don't ever let a word of criticism come into the hearing of your children. You will destroy vocations. You have a duty to correct, protect, and direct your children, and the priests have the duty to do that for adults and children. The law of God must be promulgated. It comes through the mouth of the priest. God commands us to be here at Sundays at the Great Sacrifice. And he commands the priest to give the food for your souls. to make it digestible, presentable, but very clear what you must do to save your souls. And for that, you know the catechism. And the priests have to simply remind you week after week, because it's so easy to forget. So the first point was the importance of vocations. Second point, to help and support the priests and the work of the Society of St. Pius X. The third point is also critical, that you must encourage personally those individuals, whether in your family or your acquaintance, that you know show signs of being suitable. Advise and encourage without being pushy. Don't force them into it. But certainly a word of encouragement to someone who may be a good priest. And you don't have to be a genius to be a good priest. You don't have to be a saint already. The seminary formation will help with that. You have to be average intelligence, no grave impediments, and the right motivation. That's all. This book I'm using, it was given to all the priests last February, all about vocations, and it won't be made available for the public. It gives many pages here on the impediments in canon law and in our society and the signs of a vocation. It's quite helpful. So we need priests to feed our souls as parents feed their children. What do? They bring them into the world, they feed them, they heal their wounds, they teach them, they prepare them for the battles of life to obtain a responsible independence. That's the mission of parents. The priests have a similar mission for all. Feed them with the Word of God and the truth, the grace of God and the Most Holy Sacrament. Heal their wounds in the sacraments of penance and extreme unction. Strengthen them through the sacraments of confirmation and for their public and civic duties in matrimony or holy orders. So the good Lord is calling some among you today to be priests, to be religious, and those of you who recognize the signs in the others should personally encourage them. I can tell from my experience with society priests that a good number of them are there because their father took the lead in family prayer. And the father taking that lead makes a huge difference. If it's always left only to the mother, then young men, when they become teenagers and the turbulent years of the terrible teens, they turn away from it. Turn away even from religion altogether, if it's seen only as a woman's thing. Which, of course, is characteristic of the Novus Ordo. Priests who've been feminized, the women in the sanctuary running the parishes. It's one of the major reasons for the lack of vocations. Altar girls, unthinkable. Imagine if we allowed altar girls serving here at the Mass, there'd be no more altar boys, and most of you, all of you, would rightly leave and find another parish. It's unthinkable. Why? Because the priest stands in for Christ at the altar, the servers stand in for the minor orders of the priesthood, and the people in the nave represent the bride, the clergy, the bridegroom, the faithful in the church, the bride. That's why you women veil your head in a bridal posture. All that sacred symbolism, which is biblical and Catholic tradition, is completely destroyed when you take away the communion rail and you allow women or lay folk into the sanctuary indiscriminately. It destroys vocations. It destroys the meaning of the priesthood, the sacrifice. So with these few thoughts, I encourage you to foster vocations and sometimes personally encourage a suitable young man. to think about joining the seminary or doing a retreat to discern his vocation. The family that prays together will stay together. The family that prays together will foster vocations so that your children and grandchildren may have someone at their deathbed giving them the last rites and sending them to heaven, securely to heaven. Encourage them with prayer, not only in common and liturgical, but private prayer. Encourage them in monthly confession. Even come as a family on a day when confessions are available. Reading the lives of the saints, practicing true devotion to Mary, the mother of the first high priest. Foster vocations in these ways. God will reward you. One final thought I want to remind you of is that every rule that you know about or learn about in the catechism, every ritual that we perform, rules and rituals are directed towards the relationship, to build up your love for God. It's all about that. Where do I stand with God? The priest is the man of God. Pray for him, because he stands, he may fall. If he's fallen, your prayers can help him stand again. The bad can become good, and the good can become bad. And the key to it is your prayer life. So let us all work together to foster the work of the great late Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. And there's a prayer in this book from the sacred liturgy. O God, who has appointed thine only begotten Son to be the eternal high priest for the glory of thy majesty and the salvation of mankind, grant that they whom he hath chosen to be his ministers and as stewards of his mysteries may be found faithful in the fulfillment of the ministry which they have received through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and rate the podcast so that more people can hear the beauty and truth of traditional Catholicism. For more news, resources, and updates, you can visit the U.S. District website at sspx.org or the English news website of the Society at fsspx.news.